Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Psalm 84:5, I ended with last week, and we're going to begin with this week. I'm going to read the first version I'm going to read of this scripture. Psalm 84:5 is from a version that was translated in the later 1800s called Young's Literal Translation. And I'm reading it for a purpose. It says this, verse 5 says, "Oh, the happiness of a man whose strength is in thee. Highways are in their heart." Okay? Oh, the happiness of a man whose strength is in thee. Highways are in their heart. I want you to remember that because that's our theme today. Highways in our heart. And what is a highway? A highway means that we're going from one place to another. Right? Highway means we're on a trip. Highway means we're traveling. Highway means we're headed toward a destination. It's really important because Probably the most common dilemma in a Christian life is stagnation. Is you become a Christian, you have a season that's all filled with great feelings, new knowledge, and as you pass through time, you find your spot, you find your groove, if you will. Where maybe you're doing church and maybe you're doing a Bible study, little service here, little service there, but there's not a continual change inside. Not inside. You stagnate. You come to represent a particular view of the scripture. You become a Baptist, a charismatic, a Catholic, a this, a that, the other thing. You represent your view. You know how to defend perhaps your view. And that's where you stay. And there's not really a growth. But it says, "Oh, the happiness of a man whose strength is in you, highways are in their heart." That means whoever you are, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, the expectation of the one whose strength is in God, is that they're anticipating that the next season, the next month, the next year, the next 5 years, you're going to be different than you are today. And there's going to be a growth, and the growth is not necessarily going to be on the outside, although it does have an effect on the exterior life. What you can accomplish and where you can go and your success and your vocations and all of those kind of things. Really what we're looking to do is to become like Jesus. We're taking a journey into the heart of God. Our journey is into the heart of God. And if you ever think that the fullness of the heart of God is open to your knowledge, I would offer to you that it's impossible to ever even conceive that you can ever possibly perceive the breadth and the length and the depth of the heart of God. Because if God made the heavens and the earth, he's so much higher. And if human beings are a derivative of God, made in his image and his power, it's impossible for us to ever even conceive the possibility that we can understand him, because we're a derivative creation of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Therefore, there's a lot to still learn about him. That's all to say that. There's still a lot to learn about him. Books help you do that, but books won't help you. Books are not enough. Prayer will help you to do that, but just prayer is not enough. Church will help you to do that, but just church is not enough. Solitude with God will help you to do that, but solitude is not enough. There has got to be this hunger inside of you that propels you forward, that draws you forward into a place where you're desiring to know him more. Blessed is he whose strength is in the Lord. There are highways in his heart. There are highways in his heart. Now I'm going to read that same Psalm 84 from the New King James Version. I'm going to begin with verse 1 and read down through like about 7. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You see what we're talking about? We're talking about somebody who's already a mature, what we would call believer, Old Testament believer. Somebody who's still who's mature in their faith, who's writing psalms, who's being used by the Holy Spirit to write scripture song in song form for us to have all these thousands of years later. And he says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. I want to go somewhere. He's saying, I want to go somewhere. I'm looking to arrive at a destination. I'm looking to find a destination, not here. I'm looking to find the courts of the Lord, his house where he lives, the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Not just my faith, not just Sunday morning. It's like, why do we praise? Do we praise God because it's the thing we do in church? Or do we praise God because we're longing for the courts of the Lord? We're trying to get someplace. I'm trying to enter in more into what Jesus Christ reveals in the very difficult scriptures in the Bible. But look, right? This one. What day is this your heart? What day is this your heart? Your honest heart. I tell you not to resist an evil person. What day is this your heart? But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anybody wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your coat also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you. What day is this your heart? Not that you're doing it because, oh, the Bible says I got to do this. What day do you become this? Because this is who Jesus was. This is who Jesus is. These are the courts of the Lord. This is where we're going. That our inner man is transformed into this person. Not that we hate and gossip and bicker and fight and argue within our heart and act like Christians on the outside, because that's just the law. But this is who we've become. He says, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. When does that become you? How do you run from the guy who you think is going to try to borrow something from you? Now, unless you're a father and it's your kids that want to borrow something from you. No, I'm only kidding.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Why? Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Because all the rest of this stuff, you're just sons of your Father in the earth. You're just acting like everybody else in the earth. You hate people, you spiteful people, you run away from people who want to borrow from you. You're like everybody else, you ain't no different. I don't care what church you go to, this church or any other church, you ain't no different. When Jesus invades your heart and starts winning your heart, and you say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. So, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And it says this, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself. Right? You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, birds have houses that they belong in. They belong in houses. They have nests and stuff like that. But we humans don't really have a place to dwell that's our real home. There's something inside of us that's drawing us to something. That's why people build mansions, because they're trying to fulfill something in themselves that they can't really fulfill in this earth. So you buy cars, or you buy mansions, or you buy boats, or you buy this, or you buy that. I mean, we're running helter-skelter trying to acquire something that will make us feel like we're at home here. But really, our heart and our soul cry out for the courts of the Lord. She says, the swallow, a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. So there is a way to dwell in the house of the Lord. Psalm 91 talks about he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will not abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where it says that 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, and it won't come near you. Only with your eyes will you watch and see the destruction of the wicked. Right? And then verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, remember before on Young's literal translation, it says, oh, the happiness of the man whose strength is in you, highways are in his heart. This New King James Version and many other versions say, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. That's highways in your heart. Your heart is set on pilgrimage. Your heart is set on the fact that you're trying to go somewhere. You're on a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is a holy trek. That's what a pilgrimage is, right? But as children of God, our pilgrimage is into the center of the heart of God. Our pilgrimage is into the center of the heart of God, that we adopt his heart, that we adopt his mind, we adopt his emotions, we adopt his responses to life. That's our pilgrimage, because we're born again, and that's not who we are naturally. That's not naturally who we are, tainted with the sin of Adam. So our pilgrimage is to discover the heart of God and adopt it as our own. We good? And it says, these people whose heart is set upon pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca, remember last week what we said that means? Weeping. That means that there's going to be times in your life that Christianity is not all a great big birthday party, you know, that lasts for the rest of your life. Christianity includes moments when we pass through the valley of weeping. What's the valley of weeping? It's a valley of failure. It's a valley of pain. It's a valley of, listen, folks, and these things don't last forever. There are seasons. To everything, there's a season under the sun. But there are seasons of pain. There are seasons of heartache. There are seasons of failure. There are seasons of doubt. There are seasons of loss. And it says, as they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. And the rain also covers it with pool. That spring means that joy comes out of that. After that valley of weeping, they make that valley of weeping into a fountain, a spring of joy, where there's joy pouring forth. It says that Jesus endured the cross for the glory that was set before him. Jesus endured the cross for the glory that was set before him. Now tell me, what was the price that Jesus paid on the cross? We break the bread because that's a symbol of his body being broken. We drink the cup in communion because that's a symbol of his blood being poured out. But what was the price that Jesus paid on the cross? It was his soul. It was his soul. Listen, your body can get hurt. You can get shot with a gun. You can get beat with a baseball bat. And it hurts your body for sure. But it's your soul that has to bear the pain. Are you with me? It's your soul that bears the pain of physical hurt, physical trial, being reviled, being called names. Jesus endured the suffering for the glory that was set before him. And in Christianity, part of our life is not to pretend like we're in a consummate birthday party, but that when we go through the valley of weeping, that we weep, that we mourn, that we hurt. But we can make that valley of weeping into springs, into fountains of glory. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. So that means that once, listen to this, once you hit that valley of hard times, you make it a spring because you start praising him. Your praises come up. You're in this valley. You start praising him. Praise you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Your Lord, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? From the cross, they're killing him. Father, forgive them, for they know. The spring comes up. What does it say? The rain comes down. What's the rain? The rain is the blessing of God. The rain always represents the blessing of God. When the springs begin to come up from our valley of weeping, the rain comes down, which is the blessing of God. That's good preaching. Doesn't sound happy. We could do another Jesus cheer if it would make you happy. I like Jesus cheers, but I want you to know about real life. Because if you live long enough, you find out that sometimes it hurts. And it doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It says, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Isn't that great? They go from strength to strength. That means every time you hit a valley, you begin to praise. The fountains come up. The rain comes down. I'm out of the valley. Sometime down the road again, hopefully in a long time, you hit another valley. Oh, time to praise again. Time to worship again. Send those fountains up. Rain comes down. Blessing comes, you're delivered out of that valley. Go from strength to strength. That means you're on a journey, you're on a pilgrimage, you're on a trip, you're getting stronger and stronger. But if you age properly in the Lord, you become a resource for young people. And young people can gather around you and you can say, son, daughter, do it this way. I can help you to learn how to live in a better way. Because I've become closer to the heart of Jesus, and I have a strength in me that humans don't understand. Hebrews 11:8. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. By faith, Fred, John, Harry, Bill, Mary, Susie, you left where you were and you have come out to the place that you're going to receive as an inheritance and are in fact now beginning to receive that as an inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance of eternity. God, Abraham was among what a polytheistic society and connected with God somehow. Didn't even know God. But somehow this guy Abraham, in this polytheistic society, in his father's household, God said, I want you to leave your father's household. I want you to leave your father's land. They were very rich. I'm going to leave your father's household, leave your father's land. I'm going to bring you to a place that I'm going to show you that you're going to eventually inherit. And Abraham followed God, believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God has called you out of the earth that you were born into. He's called you out of the consciousness, of the cultural consciousness, the inculcation of our American society to a land that he is bringing you to. He's given you a down payment in the Holy Spirit, and one day you'll receive the fullness of your inheritance, the fullness of the heavenly Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven. And he went out. It says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. You see what we're doing? It's like we're in a foreign country. We're foreigners. This is not our homeland. We have a heavenly homeland. This is not it. You're not made to live forever in this condition. You're now sojourners. You're pilgrims. There's a highway in your heart that's taking you to the place that God has created for us as his sons and daughters. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. God said, I'm going to give you all this land. But he dwelt like he was a foreigner. Said he was dwelling in, by faith, he dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob as the heirs of the same promise. For he, watch this, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was a pilgrim. He was a sojourner. He was a traveler. He was looking for the city whose foundations were laid by God. It's exactly what we're called to do. It's exactly what we're called to do. And folks, listen to me. We don't express it through religion. Just like Abraham was looking for a city whose foundation was laid by God, we're looking for our hearts to be converted into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can dwell together here on this planet in a city together with the heart of Jesus together. That's what Jesus would like more than anything from us. None of the bickering, none of the gossiping, none of the hurting of one another, avoiding one another, walking together as God's people, inheriting the land that we will inherit. Yeah? So our Christian experience is a dynamic trek to the heart of God. It is not stagnant. Your Christianity should not be stagnant, should not be stationary, should be it should be a series of accomplished from strength to strength, you just heard me read, and a series of accomplished destinations. It's the beginning of a lifelong journey that has many victories,
many victories. That's why Genesis 1 is the first book of the Bible, because he goes from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God, from day 1 to day 2 to day 3 to day 4, always building, always constructing, at the end of the day saying, it is good. New strength, new productivity, new life. So why do our times of weeping not result in springs of joy? It's because we think that somehow God has failed us, but we don't understand that it's a part of the entire process. I don't wish for weeping for you. I don't wish for times of weeping. I'm not wishing that on you. I don't desire weeping for you. But when weeping comes, if you make it a fountain of joy, the rain comes, and then God fills you with his blessings. And strength to strength, you go from strength to strength. You find out afterward, I'm not weaker than I was before. I'm not more bitter. I'm not more cynical. I'm not more jaded. In fact, I'm stronger. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you today. And I ask you that this word would be a blessing to some folks here, that we would be more like Jesus, that you would put a pilgrimage in our heart, Lord Jesus, that we're going somewhere. We're not staying here. We're not stagnant, Father God, that we'll continue to grow. We'll continue, Lord Jesus, to prosper in you. You fill this church, that you bless this town, you bless our relatives, you bless our friends. As we walk in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we get a hold of his heart, Lord Jesus, that more and more and more of our generation will get saved, Father. We're not going to be around in another 100+ years, Lord Jesus, and we weren't around 100 years ago. This is our time. This is our generation. This is our moment to speak for you. So, Lord God, you'd give us the courage, that you'd give us, Lord God, the heart for our friends and neighbors, that we might speak for you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Hello, my name is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Today's message is titled, Highways of Your Heart. Pastor Bob shared some simple steps to make sure we don't become stagnant in our relationship with Christ. We must continually go down the highway of our heart closer to Jesus. What does that mean? God loves you, and he wants to reveal himself more to you. That happens in our day-by-day relationship with him. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and have never made him your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've done that before, but because of different seasons of your life, you have strayed far from him. He's calling you home, child of God. Would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I repent from my sins today. I ask that you would cleanse me by your blood. I believe Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice for my sin. I receive the free gift of salvation today, purchased by Jesus' death and resurrection. I walk forward as a new creation in you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill me with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Jesus, I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I would encourage you to start praying and spending time with God. Start reading your Bible. Start in the Gospels and read about Jesus. That's the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. If this podcast has touched you today, would you consider giving to the work of spreading God's Word? You can give online and learn more about OFR, CMCC, and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jacob Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.